On July 4, 1975, the anti-development campaigner and journalist Juanita Nielsen went for a meeting with a nightclub owner, Eddie Trigg, in Sydney's red light district, King's Cross. She was never seen again. Her supporters maintain she was killed to silence her criticism of big developers who were rapidly changing the identity of many of Sydney's inner city suburbs in the 1970s. Suburbs like Juanita's beloved King's Cross and Balmain, replacing working class terraces with slick new buildings. Well, a new screen work about her life and disappearance, commissioned by the Australian Centre for the Moving Image in Melbourne and Art Bank, is currently showing for free at the University of New South Wales Galleries in Paddington, not far from where Nielsen lived. It's called The Beehive. It tells her story in a poetic and multifaceted way, mixing documentary interviews with many who knew her and choreographed dramatic scenes in which several different women, including actor Pamela Rabe, but also many non-professional performers, play Juanita. The compelling and haunting result is a film that plays on a loop, but you'll never see the same film twice. That's because an algorithm selects scenes randomly from hours of footage and combines them in a different order each time. Here's a taste of the film, and then you'll meet the makers of The Beehive.
Sometimes it would just bubble up in conversation. I'd just sit there and listen. I was like, who's this? And they'd explain the whole story to me. And then they'd argue amongst themselves about what they thought had happened. Bonnie was like, yeah, I remember she worked at Legos and she remembered going out on stage the night that they all thought Juanita's body was under the stage.
Hello, this is the office of Now.
Hi, Juanita. I'm calling to set up a meeting with Eddie Trigg.
Carousel Club would like to take out a half-page ad in the next issue.
Great. I'll see you tomorrow at 10.
And then one of the other girls was, no. She was taken to the gazebo and they chopped her up and put her down the incinerator. And then there was like, no. She's buried under the airport. And no, she's buried under the development over there in Victoria Street. But it was always very passionate and people were very upset to not know what happened.
Well, joining me now are the writer-director of The Beehive, Zanny Begg, and producer Philippa Bateman. Welcome to you both. Welcome to The Screen Show.
Nice to be here.
Now, Juanita Nielsen's supporters claim she was murdered. It's not a word I used in my intro, but it is a word that you use in the film. Zanny, tell me about why people think she was murdered.
Well, there's a question mark that hangs over what happened to her, I guess because no one spoke and they never found the body. And that kind of feeds into this notion of mystery that kind of surrounds her. But I think if you scratch a little bit deeper beyond that and look at the kind of context that surrounded her disappearance, it becomes very clear that it was a deliberate act.
This context was very toxic at the time, wasn't it? I mean, fighting for Sydney's heritage and its traditionally working class neighbourhoods was a really big deal. I mean, we haven't talked about things like the Green Bands, for example, and the union movement.
I mean, doing the research for this film, it was really remarkable to just realise how violent it was at that time and how antagonistic it was, I guess, between the developers who really had this vision for basically transforming the inner city of Sydney into something that looks largely like it does today, and then the community groups backed by the Green Bands who were trying to defend their neighbourhoods. And it was a really, really serious confrontation.
Well, yeah, I mean, and some of those Green Bands and some of those grassroots and radical sort of movements actually were successful, though, weren't they, in kind of...
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, in terms of saving the buildings, I mean, the Juanita and her friends did save a lot of Victoria Street. And, you know, we know that the Green Band saved Centennial Park and the Rocks and, you know, large chunks of Sydney, Kelly's Bush and so forth. But I guess what has happened is that the communities who live there haven't been so lucky in that sense that, you know, the buildings were perhaps protected. But over time, what we've seen is that Sydney as a city has become less and less affordable.
Absolutely.
And less and less a home to working class or people in fixed incomes or the bohemian artist communities that Juanita really loved.
Now, Philippa, you're a King's Cross resident, and when Zanny came to you with this project, was Juanita Nielsen an iconic figure in your mind?
Yes, I had a long standing fascination with Juanita, partly because I knew about her since my childhood. My mother was a journalist in the 70s, and both she and her friends covered the story. We lived in the inner city, so she'd always been around in my life, and I was actually completely fascinated by her. I'd read a lot and I'd researched a lot, and I'd actually at some point considered doing a TV series or a film about her. And Zanny approached me with The Beehive. And the thing that I always really struggled with when I knew the story so well was how to tell that story in a surprising and fresh and original way, and in a way that resonated with what's going on now. Rather than just turn it into a drama where, in fact, everyone knows the ending, which is that she disappeared, she was probably murdered, and they don't know who did it, which isn't very satisfying from a technical storytelling point of view. And I think that I was incredibly excited by the approach that she had taken and the conceptual approach and the ideas, because it was combining the voices and the people from that time, as well as a bunch of young women who were auditioning for the role of Juanita, as well as the established actors, as well as, it was about the green bands, it was about unions, it was about residents, it was about women, it was about crime, it was about all those things. And it's quite unwieldy when you're trying to deal with it as a traditional kind of narrative.
So is this where the algorithm comes in as well, this idea that the film is very upfront, like your previous film, actually, City of Ladies, which we spoke about on the predecessor of this show? The algorithm's very upfront about sort of embracing that unwieldiness in a way, and it's just saying this is a jumble and it's going to keep jumbling, and you're going to have to, as a viewer, as you sit there and spend maybe an hour, I spend an hour and 15 minutes with this in a dark room at the gallery, you're going to have to sort of draw out your own threads in some ways. Is that...
I think that was the point of the algorithm in this story, is that I think it's pretty clear that, we say who we think did it, but we don't say it necessarily in one sitting or one viewing. Like, you need to do a little bit of work as a viewer to sort of piece the story together and look for the clues that are in all the different fragments as they compile together. And the more time you spend with it, if you want to, obviously viewers can spend as long as they want, but I think the more you find out about Juanita, and I think also the more you find out about the context within which she disappeared and the perpetrators.
But it's not also just a whodunit, is it? As you were saying, Philippa, this is the way this work plays out, is that it starts to unfurl, and you start to realise, just with the idea of different non-professional actors, different women playing Juanita on screen in the dramatic sort of choreographed moments, this is a story that's much broader than just the Juanita story. It's a story about Sydney. I think at one point, she says, when she's voiced by Pamela Rabe, she walks down a staircase, an old historic staircase in Sydney, down towards the water.
Stairs and King's Cross, Woolloomooloo.
And she says, "What are the words? If you solve my murder, you'll solve this city."
Yeah.
What do you mean? What did you mean by scripting that?
Well, I think just to go back to something you said a little bit earlier, but we have 12 different people who play Juanita, and because she disappeared, for me that was like a void that kind of sits in the centre of Sydney, and to fill that void with one actor trying to be her was less interesting to me, to say fill it with multiple people who in all different ways reflect aspects of her. So there's the young woman who's a journalist working today who cares about, who's Palestinian and cares about social issues, or there's the performer who comes from the trans club performance scene, because she disappeared in Lay Girls, or there's a woman who's a long-term public housing resident in Woolloomooloo, and all these women are really different, but through their descriptions of what Juanita means to them, I think you get a far more varied and interesting picture of who Juanita was and what the issues that, how the issues that she was fighting for in the 70s have morphed into the contemporary city that we see today. So to get back to the last part of your question of solving the puzzle of this city, I think the fact that there was no Royal Commission into Juanita's murder, the fact we never found the body, the fact that we never prosecuted anyone for her murder really speaks to what sort of city we live in. And, everything we know about the greed and the corruption and the poor planning and the real estate speculation and all those factors, I think, have just sort of, you know, been on steroids since the 70s. And, you know, I think doing the film in that way was a way to kind of slip between the 1970s and today.
I do love the way that you can sit with this film, and that obviously you're going to see it morph as the algorithm picks different scenes for you to watch and orders them in different ways. But you're also sitting with Sydney. You're sitting with Juanita's ghost. I think that's the most interesting thing about it. You're sitting in a darkened room. When you enter the gallery space, there's an antechamber with some photos of Victoria Street where she lived and so forth that puts you in the mood. And then you're in this darkened room and she's kind of like a ghost, isn't she, through this? I mean that in the best possible way. It's quite an eerie experience. Is that what you wanted people to take away from it as well? This notion of feeling her presence. There's a memorialization here happening, or maybe she's, I don't know, reborn or something in the room.
Obviously I produced it, so to say I find it haunting and wonderful sounds like I'm, you know, pushing it. But I actually think it is a very haunting experience watching it and sitting with it, and then hearing all the people who talk about their experiences, because it's funny. It is about Juanita and who Juanita is, but it's also about all the lives she's touched, and not just the lives when she was around and the people she was fighting for and who she was, but people now. You know, she hasn't actually gone away. And that's what Zanny and I found. I mean, when we were shooting, there was that incredible scene because we shot inside her house on Victoria Street, which is actually, it's got a heritage listing. And there's a family who lived there and, you know, they had to leave for the day while we filmed and removed their entire kitchen and everything from the house. And we were outside and Emma Jackson, who was one of the actors who played Juanita, who actually looks a lot like her and had her beehive and the amazing coat, and she was standing on the stairs and we had the camera outside, and there was that woman who walked past who must have been in her 80s, and she was in tears and said, "Is this about Juanita?" And that people had actually put flowers on the window frame. And in fact, even I noticed, because I live around the corner from her house, when they're putting the NBN, they'd even scrawled Juanita's name on the NBN sort of panel. Huh. So it's like she it is haunting, the actual film, but you feel it when you're in the street. And we had incredible goodwill making this. I mean, we shot it all in King's Cross. You know, it's the King's Cross Hotel, the rooftop of Regent's Court. Everyone was incredibly helpful. You know, we shot 2 hours in 10 days with 30 speaking parts, and, you know, everyone was helpful and
amazing. Must have been, you get a clear sense, I think, of that community in the film, if that's what we're calling it. The beehive we haven't mentioned, but you sort of hinted at it there, is partly a metaphor.
Yeah, so
and it's partly a reference of her, reference of a hairstyle.
The other thing we haven't talked about with Juanita, because she was an incredibly effective political activist, but she was actually also a totally stylish individual, and she would spend an hour every day doing her makeup and her hair before she would leave the house. And ironically enough, that actually saved her life one day when the suspected killers came, and she wasn't made up, so she wouldn't answer the door. obviously, it wasn't enough to protect her forever. But the beehive was a wig, so it wasn't her real hair, and it was like a front. She was, it was funny trying to piece together who she was, and it, you know, she was this big character, and, you know, she's, you know, very famous, infamous in Sydney, but she was also quite a private person, and there weren't that many people who were very close to her. And so, yeah, the beehive was this front, I think, that she put on to kind of get out into the world. But also, a beehive is when we think about cities, humans have cohabited with bees, you know, since time immemorial, and a beehive is about community, architecture, and density. And those were the three things, I think, that Juanita was really fighting for in Sydney.
And also the idea of that feminine dimension of what a beehive is and how it works and is
it's a female world. Yeah. Yeah, a dark feminine cooperative womb is what we call it.
And we had all female creatives on the film, of course.
All right, well, I do recommend it. The Beehive is currently screening. Projecting, it is showing in a darkened room at the wonderful space inside of the University of New South Wales Galleries in Paddington in Sydney. You can see it for free. So get along, and there are look out for a series of discussions about the history of radical and grassroots activism in Sydney that are connected with this film as well. Thanks to the both of you.
Thank you.
That's Philippa Bateman, who is the producer of The Beehive, and Zanny Begg, the writer-director of The Beehive. Go and check it out if you're in Sydney.